All right, great to see you this morning. Let's get our Bibles out because I'm running late already. So take your Bibles, go to the book of Titus. Thank you for being here very much. Thank you. I have invited, this is a little bit of a, this is going to be kind of a church family deal this morning. How's that? Okay. And I've invited, and I think that Brother Ray is going to be bringing the teens up because they're going to be here also. It's something that young people, teens, moms, dads, everybody needs to hear, okay? And so I'm going to be nice in somewhat of a dogmatic way. Does that even work? All right. Titus, if you would, chapter 2, okay? We know where we're at. We looked at the older women. We left off there, I believe, last week. It says in verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, before we move on to what I want to deal with this morning, I want you to know something. Young people and young married and young wives and young mothers, would you know something? You don't know how to love your husband. Oh, I do so. The Bible says you don't. The Bible says you have to be taught that. Well, I knew it wouldn't fly real well, but we're off to a flying start, are we not? Amen. So he said, well, that's what we're looking at. These are things the age women, and look up here, let me give one other thing real fast. And I don't mean to be mean about this. I don't mean coarse about this at all. But for many years ago, now we started, and I'm not against ladies having meetings. I don't know, and I'm really not against that. I've talked to my wife about that. We've discussed it. Many years ago, there were some ladies that wanted a ladies' meeting, and I didn't. It came from a church that it literally blew up because of a ladies' meeting. Ladies, that is not meant to be a slam towards you whatsoever. It's just a fact. It did. And I said, well, I don't mind ladies' meetings as long as they have a biblical motive and a biblical purpose. You know what the biblical purpose is? The aged women teach the young women how to love their husbands, how to love their children. That's what's supposed to go on. We're not supposed to be there to start a women's auxiliary. Amen, amen, amen. Well, preacher, you don't believe in empowering women. I believe what the Bible says. I believe that women are empowered in that you're supposed to be teaching and training the next generation. I believe, listen, we're griping about the very thing that the communists have used to destroy this country, training a generation. We're griping about them getting into the schools and we won't do in homes what we're supposed to do. Can I hear one amen? Thank you. God bless you. I heard one. All right. Yeah. It took a little while to get to my ear. That was all it was. All right. So anyway, the enabling of mature women, they're able to teach sobriety, love their husbands, love their children, and so on. Now, let me say this. Verse 5, look at this. He goes on, it's not done. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That is 21st century hate speech. You know I'm telling you the truth. You know I'm telling you the truth. Obedient to husbands. Oh! And can I tell you something? I have to be fair about this. I have to be fair about this. Listen, you know the challenge with that right now? The challenge is here you're a husband, or you're a father, and you're a mother, and you're looking at a daughter, and I'm going to teach her to be obedient to someone, and I don't know if the someone is going to be obedient to. How many men, young men, in this day and age, you'd be afraid for your wife or your daughter to have to come under subjection to that? Yeah, I mean, understand what I just said. I'm not really thrilled with the idea of some of the train wrecks out there. So all of a sudden, now, but I will tell you this. If you'll teach your daughters that list, they might find that what they're looking for isn't found in the bars and isn't found in the honky-tonks and isn't found in the gambling places and so on like that. They might find that out. They might say, no, I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for that. I know a young lady right now, and she said, you know what I was looking for in a husband? She was not raised in a Christian home, but she got saved. She said, I was looking for someone, all I can say is someone that seemed to be interested in God and church. Well, that's good. That's good. Amen. So the ladies, I want to talk about this subject, not just to the teens, but I do want to talk to the teens about it. But I also want to talk to the adults about it. We understand where we're going. It says to be discreet. Let's talk about discreet for a little while, okay? If anything on there, I could talk about chaste. Maybe we will. Keepers at home. I don't think it's bad for a young lady. Since Paul says to be a keeper at home, the home's an important place to keep. Amen. Our problem has been back in the World War II when the ladies went into the factories because the men went off to war. When the men came back, the ladies didn't go home. And all of a sudden now you have latchkey kids. You have kids that are home by themselves with the internet. Are we all right? And at some point we got to sit back and say, you know, this is not a workable situation here. I mean, it may look like it's going to work, but what could come from it could absolutely be destructive for life. Amen. And so he says, I could say that, and I think that's good. I think it's nice. I think it's nice, honestly. I think a man can cook. I think man, I think you ought to be able to cook, guys. I do something. I mean, it's not hard to cook today. You got a microwave? I mean, come on. Today it's too easy to cook. Take a can of beans, drop it in a jar, stick it in there, hit it for about a minute, pull it out, you got hot beans. Amen. Now, I may not... I can make eggs. I can make gravy. I can make gravy better than my wife make gravy. My wife can't make gravy. She makes wallpaper paste. Oh, we've talked about it. We've laughed about it. Now, she knows about it. She does. When she comes up and says, I hear you make wallpaper paste. No, don't do that. That would be bad on my part. You don't do that. But the fact is I can make gravy. I know how to make gravy. I make eggs. I can do that. I can fry bacon. I can do that. Now, you make a cake. I can make a cake. You wouldn't want to eat it. Bread, I can't make bread, and I can follow a recipe. Honestly, I can do that. I don't think there's anything wrong with a man cooking, but I think that when it comes to those, and I'm not even thinking, I don't even know when it says, look what it says. It says keepers at home. I don't know that that's necessarily speaking of cooking, doing the wash, and cleaning the house. I think that home is not a building. I think that home is people. And they need someone to keep them. Keep them. How oft, he said, would I have gathered you, Jerusalem, as a hen doth gather her chicks? Yeah. You watch those. You ever seen chicks follow or like ducks and follow, little baby ducks follow a mama duck and stuff like that? That's cute. It really is. I can say that. I'm secure enough in my manhood. I can say that's cute. All right. But you know what that is? They're watching out for that family. That's a neat thing. Well, I can say all those things, obedient to their own husbands. We know that's what the Bible commands. I would simply say this, guys, if someone is going to yield their will to you, please do your best to make sure they don't regret it. If someone's going to say, I will follow you, please make sure that they're glad at the end of the day that they made that choice. Are we all right? I want to talk about discretion, discreet. What's it mean? The word discreet means morally discerning, prudent, circumspect. The Bible says in Ephesians that our walk is to be a circumspect walk. It means wise, judicious in avoiding mistakes. Take your Bibles and go to Isaiah 28 real fast. There's a great illustration here of discretion. Discretion. We're just going to talk about discretion in a general idea right now. But in the definition I gave, what wouldn't it deal with? Morally discerning. Do you know, I mean, is there an area that doesn't touch? Prudent. The prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. That's what Proverbs says. So what areas do I need to foresee evil in? Just a limited or maybe a broad spectrum? How about circumspect, watchful? Where can I be careless? How about wise or judicious in avoiding mistakes? I promise you that every person here has regrets in decisions you have made just like I do. And you wish you had been more careful. You wish you had been more cautious about it. You wish you'd been more discerning about it. You'd wish you'd had more discretion on it. Well, In Isaiah 28, I wish you'd, I'm not there yet, I'm sorry. Go to Isaiah chapter 28 and look with me in verse 23, would you? Verse 23. It says, give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken, the Lord says, and hear my speech. Verse 24, doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open the and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scattereth the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. He says, doesn't he say, this is where the fitches go and this is where the cumin goes? Doesn't he, isn't there a discernment? Isn't there a discretion? Isn't there a separation of, I'm going to do this here, I'm not going to do that there? Why does he do that? Well, God gave him discretion. Why? Look in the next verse, 27. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cart wheel turned about upon the cumin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff and the cumin with a rod. Bread corn is bruised because he will never be, threshing it nor cause it or break it with the wheel of his cart nor bruise it with the horseman. We get the idea. After the, number one, if you harvest them all together, they'd have different needs after the harvest. Some are beaten out, some are not beaten out. Some have the grinding wheel on it, some don't have the grinding wheel on it. And if I put them all together, how many say, if you're going to do right by them, you're going to have to separate them, and if you don't, you're going to make a mess of your harvest, correct? You know what he said? He said God gave him discretion on that. He gave him, there's a discretion he has, and it comes from God. And so, discretion would simply be this then. Discretion would be, I should do this and I shouldn't do that. Why? Because I see where this is headed. Would that be discretion? I see where this is headed. No wonder he says circumspect. No wonder he says prudent. A prudent man foreseeth evil, Proverbs says. I see where this is going. Once you, the sooner you see where it's going, the sooner you say, whoa, I got to stop. Years ago, my wife and I were going to a funeral. It was a relative down in Kentucky. I think I've told you before, we were heading down, it was down in Jackson. And of course, you know how to get to Jackson. You take 75, you take it to 64, you take 64 over to Mountain Parkway. Mountain Parkway takes you down. You get off at Mountain Parkway at the exit or the Route 15 and you make a right and you go to Jackson. Everybody knows that. Well, I had all of it in my head with the exception of you get off at Mountain Parkway. And so I went right by Mountain Parkway. Now, I knew Mountain Parkway was only about 20 minutes, maybe a half hour from 75 and 64. I knew that. But it had been a long time since I'd been down there. And so I'm driving and I'm saying, Sonia, I said, shouldn't we be there now? She said, that's what I was thinking. I said, some things look familiar, some things don't, but you're in Kentucky. It's all hills, right? And so, I mean, you can't drive, 5 miles without seeing something familiar. There's a cow, right? And so I'm going down and I'm saying, I think we've messed up. And we're talking back and forth. And we knew we had messed up when I saw Welcome to West Virginia. And I thought to myself, I wish I had turned around sooner. We missed the funeral, we missed the layout, we missed everything. I couldn't recover from it. We just turned around and drove all the way back from West Virginia on 64, and we hit 75 north, and we went home, and we missed. Why? Because there is a benefit to foreseeing something soon enough to where you can avoid it. Are we okay? Discretion. Discreet. All right, let's talk about this. Discretion is supposed to be given to the simple. Take your Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter 1. Stay in Proverbs for a few minutes. I got a lot of stuff to say about discretion, actually. You know, when I teach on something like this, I always feel like that there's this kind of a pained look on everybody's face. You're waiting for the hammer to fall or something like that. Can we not have that mindset today? Look up here once you get to Proverbs 1 and everybody listen. Here's the deal. I'm your brother in Christ. You are my brother and sister in Christ. We are simply imperfect people that are trying to please our God. When Paul wrote to Corinth to square some things up, he wasn't trying to be critical or meaning, saying, you bunch of jerks, why didn't you get... It was just a matter of saying, God said this, and we all need to recognize the ramifications in our lives. And I wish that we could do that. I wish we could sit back and say, you know what, this is from the Bible, and I need to do it. It's not a matter of it's not a matter of whether you're right or whether you're wrong. Let me help you. We're wrong. Okay, are we okay now? Since we're all in the same bucket, we're wrong. Well, I'm not wrong everywhere. Great. Take everywhere you're right and put it aside. And let's focus on the wrong. How's that? You see, the Bible doesn't help. The Bible, he said, preach the word, be instant in season, reprove you're wrong. Rebuke and exhort. Two-thirds of preaching and teaching is negative. And the first one is reprove. But according to the Bible and Proverbs, a fool hateth reproof. I hate to have someone tell me I'm wrong. Now everybody look up here and listen just for a second. I'm going to be a pastor for a few seconds, okay? For about the past 2 years, I've watched that in this church. I've watched it. I've watched where I've tried to reprove someone, not from people, but just privately, and the one thing they can't seem to get out of their mouth is, preacher, I was wrong. I'm not trying to rub their nose anything, but they can't get better until they say, I was wrong. There's a reason why God said, confess. Well, I'm supposed to confess to him. Yes, I agree. But when you're pointed it out point blank from someone, especially a pastor, if you can't admit to him, I doubt you're admitting to God. Are we all right? We need a little bit of work on, you know what, I was wrong on that, I'm sorry. I have dealt with things where I have given scripture and it didn't change someone's mind. I mean, basically, I end up with things like this. Well, I guess, you know, I just think this. What's that got to do with anything? I gave scripture. When we give scripture, we say, you know what? Sorry, I'm wrong. I see. I told you it'd be family today. Proverbs chapter 1, look what it says. In Proverbs chapter 1, notice what he says in verse 22. Habakkuk, if you would, start in verse 1 with verse 4. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, and wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Stop. Look up. If you'll look at that, he said to know, to perceive, to receive, and to give. Do you see him? To know, verse 2. To perceive, verse 2. To receive, verse 3. Verse 4, to give. Look up here. That is the path to a teacher. That's the path to a teacher. You're not ready to give until you first have, to know. Until you first know. You're not ready to be a teacher until you first perceive it. I understand it now. And you're not ready to be a teacher until you receive it. There's things that we have understood that we've rejected to say, okay, I accept that. The difference is knowledge and application. This is going to change my life. There's a lot of things you and I know that we don't practice. And therefore, we're not fit to give. We're not fit to be a teacher. I believe we need teachers. I believe every Christian ought to be a teacher, but you're not going to be a teacher until you first know. How many would agree? Bible reading. Would you agree with that? Sunday school, would you agree with that? Church, would you agree with that? Hey, well, preacher, I've been saved. I don't care how long you've been saved. You are not fit to be a teacher until you first know. And then, knowing isn't enough, I've got to perceive it. And perceiving it, in other words, I get it. That's not even enough, I need to receive it. This is not just something that's true, this is something that's true for me. I have said many, many times, and I've used the verse out of Psalms 51 where David is getting right over the sin with Bathsheba. And he said this, create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit. Then I'll teach transgressors thy ways. When you work in me, then, and I have found that someone would say, well, in the years that you've preached, what have you found? I found the one key element is I cannot truly minister to somebody else until the Lord has ministered to me. Now look what it says in verse 4. To give subtly to the what? To the young man knowledge and discretion. I don't want you to forget this. Young men are supposed to have knowledge and discretion. But you have to teach the simple ones. The simple ones. Take your Bibles, if you would, go to Proverbs 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Look what it says in verse 4. Say to wisdom, he's talking in verse 1 to my son. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and behold, among the, say it, simple ones I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. Whose corner? Verse 5, strange woman. And he went the way to her house. You say, why? Because he's simple. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. But she's going to win him. You know why? Because he's simple. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abideth not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait in every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore I came forth to meet thee. And he bought it. She didn't come forth to meet him. She came forth to meet anyone who was simple. Now you know what this strange woman is a picture of? It's a picture of sin and the devil. And he comes along. And he leads by the nose the foolish and the simple ones that haven't learned discretion. Because discretion says, you know what? I'm seeing something else here. Discretion doesn't believe every word. Only fools do, according to Proverbs. Oh, you know what? I've been looking for you. And here he goes with this stupid blank look on his face as she takes this, sticks her fingers up his nose and leads him, you know. And, simple. I can't think of anything more simple than someone bragging about getting to some kind of a level on a video game. I'm not saying video games are necessarily bad, but can we hear something about history? Can we hear something about genuine knowledge? I don't really care how far you've gotten the video game. I'd like to know how much understanding you've got. Are we all right? Amen. Listen, you say, well, preacher, I'm not trying to be mean, but I know what it's like to be simple. I lived much of my life as a simpleton. But I decided that I didn't want to live that way anymore, and I didn't want to be a simpleton. I wanted to have some wisdom about me, and I wanted to be that man that had some discretion about me. And I would think everyone would want that. Look in Proverbs 1 again. Go back over there, Proverbs chapter 1. Look at the elements of those who are not discreet. Of course, the simpleton, you're supposed to give. The simple need to have discretion. We're told that, chapter 1. Look in verse 23. Turn you, he says. Back up to verse 22. How long ye what? Okay, so here's a simple one that hasn't been given discretion. They've not accepted it. He said, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity?
Well, I like being the goofball.
And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set it not all my counsel with none of my reproof. Look at this. You know those elements of the elements of those that have no discretion? Number one, they're scornful, verse 22. They're scornful. They hate knowledge, verse 23. They will not listen to godly counsel, verse 25. And they hate reproof. They hate someone saying, I'm sorry, but you're wrong in that. I've watched it, guys. I've really watched it. Now, I'm not saying every time you get a stern or serious face that you've got an attitude. I'm not saying that. If someone said, preacher, can I talk to you about something? Sure. I think you missed this. Well, show it to me. When I first hear that, I say, I don't want to say something wrong. I don't want to teach my kids something wrong. When someone says you're wrong, I want to hear what they've got to say by the word of God. But if you can show, and I may not even accept it at that moment, but you know what? At the very least, I'll say, you know what? I'm going to study on that, and I'm going to pray about that. You say, why? Because otherwise, I'm rejecting reproof. You know, I've learned that a host of church members that won't receive reproof expect me to take it. Are we okay? I'm having fun. Is this painful? You say, well, you're being sarcastic. And I'm sorry, there's part of me would like to make it a little lighthearted, but it's not funny. Listen, don't expect someone to listen to your reproof unless you're willing to listen to theirs. We have a tendency to have this thing go one way. Listen, you're wrong. Someone says you're wrong. Say, where am I wrong? I'll listen to it, but I won't listen to it from you if you don't listen to it from me. Hey, there's another service right after this, okay? And we're going to talk about love. No, we're not. All right. Okay. There's a benefit of discretion. What's the benefit? What's discretion again? Do you remember what discretion? Morally discerning, prudent, circumspect, wise, or judicial in avoiding mistakes. We're all given to mistakes, every one of us. I've made doozies myself. But when I have, I've stepped back and said, now, why did that happen? Where was my head and why was I thinking? What brought me to that point? See, I believe all those are the questions we ask. I believe the one that wants understanding asks those questions about themselves. I didn't mean for that to happen. What about me brought that on? Moms, dads, adults, we're the age. We're supposed to be teaching discretion. These girls and these guys are supposed to be getting discretion from us. Well, there's benefits to discretion. You know what they are? Proverbs chapter 2, 10 through 12. It'll protect you from evil. Look what it says. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Discretion shall preserve thee. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Why? For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Let me tell you something. That's not just good for young men, that's good for young women. Every one of us, without discretion, what we end up doing, we end up giving ourselves, we end up becoming gullible and taken by that which God never intended on us to be taken by. It protects us from the strange woman in the sense, and listen, there's a practicality about this. I'm not calling any young lady or any woman in this room this, okay? Strange woman. But I will tell you this, how many agree? They're out there. And how many agree? They're after your boys. Amen, amen. I know a father one time said he was talking to his son, who was with this little girl in school, and she they liked each other and so on like that. And this father, he went to open the door to his son's room. It was during the day. Went to open up, and they were on the phone. And literally the son said the son was holding the phone out like this. And on the other end, it was... And he said, I got to go. My dad's in the room. He's come in the room. He goes, click. And the dad looked at him and said, how would you like to wake up to that every day? Now, if you think, listen, if you're a lady and that upsets you, you got a chip on your shoulder, okay? I didn't call any lady that. Just don't be that. Amen. Just don't be that. And I'm not going to try to make equal time just so I'm being fair. The fact is in Proverbs, Solomon says, it's like a strange, sin is like a strange woman, and it's alluring. And if you don't have some discretion about you, it's going to swallow you up, and its end is as bitter as wormwood. Years ago, up at Hope, Dr. Ruckman's preaching on the prodigal son. He made a statement I have never forgotten. I've told it many times to you. He said, that Bible, and he said, sin are polar opposites. He said, sin is like this. He said, you pick the bottle up and you take a drink. You say, man, that's good. And you take another drink. You say, man, that is good. And another drink and you say, you know, it doesn't taste as good as it used to. And you take another drink and say, you know what? This doesn't taste good at all. And before you know it, you're drinking and you're saying, I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. He said, the Bible's just the opposite. You pick it up and you drink and say, that tastes awful. He said, you drink again and say, you know, it tastes awful. You drink it and say, yeah, it's not so bad. And before you know it, you're saying, man, this is delicious. You see, that's why the Bible doesn't allure people like sin does. Because initially, it doesn't have the good taste. So if you're going to understand something, you're going to have to look past how it feels, past how it looks, to its end, if you've got discretion. Amen. Now there's examples of discretion. There's examples of discretion in Scripture. All right? One of them is going to be... let's say Joseph, in Exodus 41, he said, it was Pharaoh, and he said, who is more discreet than you? Discreet, yes. He had discretion. Who has more discretion than you do? You realize, you saw this, God showed it to you, not only that, but you told us how to fix this. You told us to save ourselves 7 years down the road. You told us how to save ourselves after 14 years. And he called it discretion. A prudent man foreseeth evil. Does that mean that husbands and wives ought to foresee evil? Does that mean that moms and dads, when it comes to their children, ought to foresee evil and say, this is not a good path for you to go? Amen. Years ago, Jake, when he was much, much, much younger, matter of fact, Jack Hiles told the story about with his mom. He said when he was a little boy, she'd go ahead and clip out magazine ads for booze and for cigarettes. And he was a little Jackie, and she'd sit him down and said, Jackie, come here, and he'd sit down. And she said, see this? This is beer, bad, bad, bad. Say it, beer, bad, 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 bad. And she had that routine. She said, see this? This is cigarettes. Ooh, bad, bad, bad. Cigarettes, bad. He'd go, cigarette. That's what he'd say. I remember when he said, cigarette, bad, 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 bad. We told Jake, we told Jake, and I said, Jake, we see somebody or something like that. I said, that person is drinking drugs. And to this day, in our house, they're drinking drugs. It's bad, isn't it? It's bad. That's right. Amen. You say, well, you know, I see something up the road. Now, maybe you're going to go ahead and try to advise to your child how that they can moderate that thing. Tell me how that works out for you. Discretion says, you know what? I see where this thing goes. It bites in the end like an adder. That's what the Bible says. So no matter how it looks right now and sounds like, I think I need to stay away from this thing. Son, daughter, I think you need to stay away from. We're talking about discretion. And it ought to be something every child of God says, God, give it to me. I got to have it. I'm not going to survive down here. I'm not going to teach people down here. I'm not going to do very well when it comes to being a leader if I don't have some discretion about me. Proverbs 11. You got to read this verse. Look at this. This is good. 11. And I'm so, you know, it's interesting how many times in Proverbs discretion comes up and there's a lady involved. And I don't mean that funny. It just does. But Proverbs chapter 11, look what it says in verse 22. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Now, he says it's just like a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. I don't care how you paint a pig. I don't care how you put lipstick on it. It's still a pig. He said that's the way it is with a fair woman without discretion. Can I please tell you, that's Hollywood. That's the model industry. No discretion whatsoever. What is discretion? Discretion, I'll give you the greatest passage I can give you in the Bible, and I'll do, and then we'll apply this whole thing and finish off, okay? The greatest illustration of lack of discretion, I think, in the Bible. Now, you might think of one that I've not thought about. We won't go there because you know the story, and if you don't, I'll tell you the story. It's Hezekiah. Hezekiah, after the Sennacherib goes back and the Assyrian army's gone, and he has that disease, you know, and he's going to die. And you know how God miraculously gave him 15 more years? The Bible says that the king of Babylon heard that he'd been sick. So he sent ambassadors to Hezekiah. And when he came down, they greeted him and gave him some gifts, asked him to hope he got better. And the Bible says that Hezekiah led them on a tour. And he showed them everything that he had, all his wealth and all his glory that he had in the kingdom. And then they left. Isaiah went to him and Isaiah said, who were these people? And they said, well, they were princes of Babylon. They heard I was sick. They came down to ask how I was. And wasn't that a nice gesture? They like me. They're sincere. They're a sincere, good kingdom. And they just want to get along with the kingdoms around them. Y'all do know that Babylon ended up destroying Judah. I guess he didn't have a lot of prudence. He looks at him and Isaiah says, what did you show them? Don't miss this. It's in 2 Kings. Don't miss this. There is nothing that I have that I did not show them. And Isaiah said, you know the day's coming? And they're going to make eunuchs out of your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. They're going to carry them off and they'll be servants in a strange land. You remember the story, right? You know why? Because you did not exercise discretion. Yes, they came, but you didn't have to tell them everything. And so all of a sudden, discretion becomes what I know. Who needs to know it? Don't tell them everything. What I think, who needs to know it? Let me tell you something. Just because you think it, you don't need to tell anybody. Amen. Discretion says, I don't need to let this one out. I need to hold this one tight. That's what discretion says. Has anybody noticed, the things that advertisements advertise today are embarrassing. They're shockingly embarrassing. Whether it be on the internet or whether it be in a magazine or whether it be on TV, the stuff that they're openly talking about, I won't talk about here because we have mixed company. But there's products both for men and women, and I'm going, You know why? Because we live in a society with no discretion. Everybody doesn't need to know that. Here's the, have you noticed, I don't see them, but all you have to see the advertisement or even a footage or preview of it. Man, the stuff that they show on movies today, well, that's real life. There's a whole lot of things about real life I'm not going to share with you. And there's a whole lot of things about real life I don't want you sharing with me. You know, no matter, we're Baptists, but sometimes people think that I'm kind of like a father, you know. And they'll come up and they'll begin to tell me what they've done. And more than one time in 34 years, I've just been going, la, 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 like that. I mean, I don't even want to know. I've literally gone home. I've got my Bible. I said, God, I didn't need to know that. I didn't want to know that. And I almost hear some people in the congregation say, oh, preacher, tell me. I do. Yeah, buddy. We got people that just like to be in the know. I want to know everything. I don't. If I need to know it, I had someone one time say, can I tell you what I've done? I said, would it help you for me to know and could I help you in knowing? He said, not really. I said, no, then I don't want to know. I think one of the great errors we've got in Christianity today is where we have all these teachers and we have all these preachers that give this rendition in this story and this detailed story about what they've done and what they, why do I need to know the details? You know, Paul said, I was the chief of sinner. Enough said. I persecuted the church, enough said. But he didn't go into a gory line-by-line detail of it. I think what we do is we just give out information. No discretion in pulpits. I've heard things said in pulpits, and I was going, oh, my word. I was at a church one time, a well-known church and a good church. There was a preacher preaching, an evangelist preaching in the church, and he began talking about how he pastored for years in the city where he had, our town where he had grown up. And said that, he said there were people in the church, it grew and people got saved, and I had girls in the church, and he began to not so much allude to, but just talk about how that they knew how I lived, and he began to describe some relationships, and I'm sitting there, I'm going, out of bounds, too much information. I don't need this. And these kids don't need this. We lack discretion today because we haven't practiced it and we haven't taught it within homes. There's stuff I don't want to know. Hezekiah, now let's take that. You know, Hezekiah, what did you tell him? There's nothing that I said. So let me give you a few thoughts right here that I want all the church to hear. Number one, God help me to be discreet in what I give out. Who needs to know? What do they need to know? When do they need to know? Who needs to know? What do they need to know? When do they need to know? All those three things, when it comes to conversation and communication, deal with discretion. But discretion doesn't just deal with what I know. Discretion deals also with my persona. We live in a society, folks, listen, we live in a society, you and I live in a society where there's not a whole lot left to the imagination. No discretion. Discretion says, they don't need to see that part of me. Is that too bold or too brash? They don't need to see that part of me. And by, can I say this? It's not just a matter of skimpy attire. I never talk about clothing. You know that. But I got to tell you something. Today it's not just what it doesn't cover. Today is how tight it's gotten. God deliver us from yoga pants. They used to call them stockings when I was a kid. And although that may be funny, it's very, very close to the truth. It's how tight it can get and how... Where did you get that? What are you trying to show? Do they need to see what you're trying to show? Amen, amen. I got my favorite place at Dillard's to go shop, and I've got a couple of khakis. I'm trying to wear khakis, not blue jeans all the time. I'm trying to look more professional, if khakis are professional, I don't know. And I found a pair a great deal, and I got them. And I took them home, and I didn't look close enough, but they were pencil pants. I got them on one leg and I felt halfway girlish. And I got them off. You're not going to wear them? I will not wear them. They will be cleaning towels. I mean, you got guys. Listen, I know a lady, my mom went to Christ years ago. And she said when we were in the 60s, what they would do is they would soak their blue jeans, girls, soak their blue jeans and put them on so they'd dry tighter on them. Why? Who needs to know? What do they need to know? Who needs to see? What do they need to see? When do they need to see it? Guys, can I tell you something? I understand your wives dress for you, but understand this. When you go out, there's a whole lot of other people out there other than your husband. Husbands, would you please consider that? I can tell you, I don't notice. I don't. I do not. You ask my wife, I don't pick up on things. I'm not looking at that. And if I do notice, it is really gross if I notice. There have been times, even my own family. And guys, can I tell you this? I think it's part of your responsibility to say, hey, sweetheart, can I talk to you for a second? I've done that. You know what my wife says? She says, hmm! No, she doesn't. You know what she says? She says, thank you for telling me. And I get the idea. Sometimes we have clothing on. I've got some suits that went to the cleaner. They came back and they shrunk. And I don't know why. And I understand that sometimes we put a few pounds on here and there and things don't fit the way they necessarily used to. And I understand that. And I'm not going nuts about this. I remember working at teaching at a Christian school, and they said, now, the rule is they have to have their dresses or their skirts to the knee, which I agree. I think biblically, nakedness starts at the knee and goes up. I think I can prove that scripturally. That thigh, according to the Bible. Why do you think that the priests put on breeches? You know why they put on breeches? To hide their nakedness. They see not that thigh. That thigh. But we've got clothing go well beyond the thigh. And they said, we need you to go ahead and what you do is you have them kneel down on the floor, and you take a ruler and you put it down. And honestly, I'm sitting there, I started laughing. I said, you probably need to get someone else to do this. Number one, I'm not going to be putting a ruler next to a girl's skirt while she's kneeling down on the floor. And number two, I'm probably not the guy to do that, because I don't notice that unless it's gross. Our conversation, our attire. We live in a day and age, honestly. I just want to be careful. But could I suggest this real pastorally? Let's make sure when it comes to our attire, our wardrobe, our speech, even the makeup. Let's be careful. Let's be careful that we're, what do we send the signal to? What are we showing? What are we saying? I want to be like them. What are we doing? Discretion says this is not a good signal to send. This is not a good person. This is not a way from... When I met my wife, one thing I absolutely loved about her is she didn't wear much makeup at all. I knew what I was getting. Are we okay? I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm simply saying we're supposed to be teaching that, and I can't teach something I don't practice. As I've taught on this, and I'm done, as I've taught on this, I'm nowhere at all trying to say I have all my ducks in a row. I've told you for 34 years God's been trying to teach me. Just shut up. Just shut up. And I'm trying to be discreet and careful in what I say to who and who I say it to and what they need to know and what they don't need to know. I want to be discreet. I've tried to be discreet in the pulpit. When I have to touch on a touchy subject, I try to say it in such a way and describe it in such a way to where it's not just out there. I try to do that. I try to dress decently, and I don't try to, you know, just look dumpy or anything like that, but I will tell you this, I'm not going nuts on clothes. Discretion. I think discretion comes very close to the idea of what is appropriate. And I believe in appropriateness. That's appropriate. That's inappropriate. I started years ago, I looked here and I said, I will not counsel a lady by herself. I've practiced that for years. Why? Are you afraid of the lady? No, not necessarily. Are you afraid of yourself? No, I'm not. Outside the fact that she's flesh and I'm flesh and put no confidence in the flesh. Outside that. You say, why do I do that? I do that because I could see where that would go. Now look up here and listen, and I'm done. Years ago, how many would agree the capability of being the worst sinner in the world, the capability of it is within me. The potential's in me. Just say yes, because it is. And the potential's in you. You have the potential of doing anything that you'd be appalled at. You do, all right? So over here's the potential, all right? I would like to think that although the potential's in me, somewhere over here, there's, people are going to say, yeah, the potential's in the pastor, but I don't think that. In other words, the probability of it. You wouldn't think the probability would be there. Can I tell you what resides between the potential and the probability? The possibility. And the closer I allow the possibility to get to the potential, the more probable it will be. And discernment says, I need to stay away from this. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to bless the lesson as it went forth. Lord, I'm not sure if it was a lesson or a message. And the fact is, Lord, it would have been good for everybody to hear. Everyone downstairs and all the church, the people that aren't here. Help us to walk in it, Lord. Lord, as Holy Spirit of God, guide us in. Show us where we're not really being as discretionary as we should be in speech or in our image or whatever, Lord. Please help us, I pray. And I pray you bless the morning service for your glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.